Financially, there's many different ways, work and all that. Liberty Behind Bars, functions out of Black Creek Baptist Church because God put you here for a purpose, for a reason for that, and other things that are going on in your life. So I'm really appreciative of that. You know, the 11 o'clock service here at Black Creek is always it's always a spiritual battle for me to preach at the 11 o'clock service here at Black Creek. I preach all over the country at 11 o'clock, and it's, you know, it's not as heavy, not as much of a spiritual battle as it is here. And then the 1 o'clock service is fighting the food coma battle. everybody's ready to fall asleep. And that could be something, you know, that could be read the wrong way, right? You're up here preaching and people are falling asleep. You're like, look, they're not even paying attention to what God's saying. You know, and that could be taken the wrong way. Okay, you as the preacher, you can look out there and think, man, what do these people really care? And you could judge somebody wrongly by seeing that. You have no clue what that person has been going through, what struggles they made, why they're so tired. Thank God they can rest in the house of God. If that's anywhere they're getting rest. I mean, if you're just sleeping to sleep, shame on you. But if you're sleeping because you're going through a hard time, a struggle, trial, whatever it may be, that's understandable. At least you can get some rest in your Father's house. But a preacher can always look at that wrong. Right? He can always look at that wrong. And my goodness, it's... Anyway. What did I say?
Nothing.
Right. It's okay.
Oh. Galatians 5. Look at Galatians chapter 5. And let's get in this here for a minute. Galatians chapter 5. I must have missed something. You have to tell me afterwards. Galatians chapter 5. And it's something that I learned early on in my Christian walk, and it's something that I continue to learn. You know, the more we progress in our walk with Jesus Christ, it doesn't get easier. I'd be a lie to sit up here and say that it's getting easier as I'm walking. Now, the only reason why I can say that I could have any kind of peace or any kind of any ease at all is because I have Jesus Christ. I look back at Stephen and I go, how did I make it all those years as a lost person? And then today I go, I don't understand how I made it for 40 years without Jesus Christ going through the things that I went through. And the things that I go through today, I'm so thankful that I have Jesus Christ to get me through them. Because I'm going to tell you this right now, I would never be able to handle it. Just to say, take this for instance. For the first time, I'm 51 years old. That's young. I'm not old. I'm not claiming to be old. But I'm 51 years old. And you have to understand this. And Brother Ronnie will know it more than anybody else. For the first time in my life, I'm learning how to live a chemical-free life. At 51, I'm learning how to function as somebody who doesn't have a chemical in my brain. Because when I was a little kid, Stephen, they started putting chemicals in my body that shouldn't have been there.
Right.
And as I progressed, my body naturally desired some kind of chemical to help me deal with things and to cope with things and so on and so forth. Then it leads into addiction and everything else. Why? Because my mind and my body desired that kind of stuff. Because when I went back to a little boy, they told me, well, we can't control them any other way, so we have to put them on pills.
Come on, you.
Right?
It's a lie.
Yeah, that is
a lie. It's a lie. Okay? And so for the first time in my life, 51 years old, Tim, I'm learning what it is to have a chemical-free life. Let me tell you something. Your thinking is different than what you thought it was when you start living a chemical-free life. Faith. I was never a social person unless I was on drunk or on some kind of chemicals. I just wasn't.
True.
And now God has got me in a position where I'm going to be social. I'm going to go out there and be put in front of people and go out there and function with people. Go out there and have dinner with people and spend time with people. All in a chemical-free mind. Something I've never done. I can't remember since I was a little kid. And so, the things that I went... And I'm skipping ahead a little bit. The things that I went through early on in my Christian life, man, I thought, man, how can I ever stop quitting smoking? How am I ever going to be able to give up not drinking? How can I ever stop cussing? And I thought, Tim, there's no way I can ever get through these. And I look back at them today and go, oh, those things were such little things that I went through compared to what I go through today. You see the progression in that? Because there's things in my life now that God put in my life and allows to come into my life that I thought when I was seeking for salvation that I feared. But my friend, let me tell you, after I got saved, I faced things in my life more now that I feared than I did before I was saved. Why? It's a spiritual battle now. It's a battle now because I have Jesus Christ living inside of me, and He is going to get His way. Regardless of who Dale Moore is, regardless of that, of what I want to take, my sin nature, the flesh, the devil in this world, God says, look, I'm going to win this thing. Because His purpose for me is to look more like Jesus Christ and less like myself.
Amen.
That's His purpose. Stephen, His whole purpose for us is now to look more like Jesus Christ than we ever did in our life. And people should be able to look at us and say, there's something different about this person. There's something different about the way they walk, the way they talk. I mean, look, if people got to see our bumper sticker,
come on.
If people have to read a shirt that we're a Christian,
what about it? Yeah.
If you always have to go out there and tell somebody you're a Christian, you're not living it right.
That's right. Come on.
That's reality. And I remember that first coming up to me at work. I could have cut all the corners in the world. And Pastor, you remember that back when I was first saved, working at McDonald's. And I remember cutting the corner and just saying, you know what? I'll clean that later. I'm tired. And I remember trying to walk away, and God smote my heart.
Yeah.
He said, get back over and clean that. Because I'd done that, somebody was watching me, brother, and I never knew it. A few weeks later, Pastor, somebody walked up to me and said, I got something to ask you. I said, yeah, what's that? She says, you're a Christian, aren't you? Never right. Said a word to her.
Yes.
Right. Let me tell you something. That ain't something that comes natural to me.
That's right.
So therefore, God is going to take care of business. Look at what it says here in Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And what he's saying here is that we have to stand fast. We have to stand firm. We have to be unmovable in this liberty that we have been given as Christians. Why? Because in our young Christian age, we can be very moved. Something slight can throw us off. Something that we don't like, or a trial coming our way. And he says, stand fast in that liberty that you've been given. A Christian, when they're born again, is given a liberty that an unsaved person won't understand. There's that. Right? But an unsaved person wouldn't understand that liberty because they don't have it yet.
Right.
Now, as a lost person, did Jesus Christ ever give me liberties in my life? Did he ever give me some of those freedoms? Yeah, he sure did. But it wasn't like when I got saved. It was not to that level when I got saved. That liberty became a whole different meaning to me when Jesus Christ said that I was made free. It became a whole new life for me after salvation. And he says, stand firm in the liberty where Jesus Christ has made us free. He's given us a new life. He's given us a new faith. And he's given us a new strength. There's liberty in being a born-again person. And along comes the peace of God, which passes all understanding. My goodness, I remember getting off that floor the night I got saved and going, oh my gosh. There wasn't a drug on this planet that could ever fill me with the peace of God. Listen, there's nothing like having the peace of God that passes all understanding come into your life. And you get up and you go, my goodness, what is this? It's a liberty like never before, because let me tell you, my life was always in bondage. I was in bondage my whole life. It didn't mean that I was in prison, but I was in prison even outside of prison. And when God stepped in and gave me that peace, that passed all understanding, it was something, it was something that an unbeliever can't understand. Can they understand some of the peace of God as a lost person? 100% they can. But they'll never get that peace that passes all understanding. That's reserved for a saved person. What a strength.
What a strength when you can stand on that piece that passed on.
What a strength when it is for you when you can stand fast. That means don't be moved. There are many things I can name, because most of you I know, and I've known you for a long time, and I can name things in your life that you won't be moved in.
Uh-oh.
He's telling you to do the same thing in the liberty that's in Jesus Christ.
That's good.
Yeah. Stand fast in the liberty that you've been given. Stand fast. Unmovable. Regardless of what comes. I call this the Liberty honeymoon phase. You know why? Because there's more joy, peace. There's more joy in your life, reading, studying, prayer, and church like never before. It's a newfound liberty. You're like, my goodness, this means so much more to me than what I was seeking. Have you thought, man, I'm reading my Bible. I'm really seeking Jesus Christ, man. And, man, God has shown me things. But I'm telling you right now, when you get saved, all that becomes even brand new.
Praise God.
He renews that inside of us.
Amen.
He gives us that liberty to be able to go out there now and look at it and see it in a different light.
Amen.
What a wonderful experience that we get in Jesus Christ. You know, it's the rest period that Jesus Christ talked about in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. He says, come unto me. By the way, that's a command of Jesus.
Amen.
Come unto me. It's a command by Jesus Christ. He's telling you to come. Christian, come. Then look what he says here. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is a physical rest that Jesus Christ gives somebody at salvation. Why? They've been laboring. They've been heavy under that laden. And Jesus Christ comes in, and when you get saved, he gives you that physical rest. Then it goes on. And it says, take my yoke upon you. He doesn't get rid of the yokes.
Right.
He doesn't get rid of the yokes, but what he's telling you is to get rid of your yoke and get in that one with him. And now we're yoked together with Christ.
Amen.
Don't stand outside the yoke. Get in it with him. It's a scary step. But that's why Paul says in Galatians to stand fast. And the liberty. What do you mean I'm in a yoke? What do you mean liberty? Because you have Jesus. It's a whole new ball game. Some things are going to try to trip you up, and you're going to start thinking, well, you know, in my past when I was lost, this, well, stop forgetting those things which are behind.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
And reaching forward, going forward. We're not going to hang on that. Jesus Christ has given me a liberty. He says, get in that yoke with me. By getting in that yoke, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. You know what that means? Not only does he give a physical rest, but he gives you a spiritual rest.
Amen.
What a wonderful God to do that for somebody.
Amen.
My goodness, I know this spiritually. Because I was going through so many of the spiritual battles, my body could hardly take it. When you're struggling for salvation and you are in the birth canal, it hurts, my friend. And that labor and those heavy ladens, man, I'm telling you now, when you settle that spiritual thing, that physical rest, that spiritual rest comes that you've never experienced in your entire life until Jesus Christ steps into your life. And then what he says, stand fast in that. Don't ever let go of that. You stand fast in that liberty wherewith you have been set free? Oh no, my friend, made free.
Amen.
You've been given something that you've never had before.
Amen.
Woo! Don't that get you excited?
Come on.
Gets me excited that Jesus Christ would give me something that I never had. You know what? I didn't deserve it.
Amen.
That's right.
I get it. 11 years and I still get excited. I look at my wife and I say, my goodness, can you imagine where we are? And I'm not talking about our home. Burn the home if you need to. You know what God showed me last week, Ronnie? I started looking at the earthly things a little too much for him. He said, Dale, all that's vain. How long did it keep you happy?
Exactly.
Oh, you're going to try to... New Christians... You're going to try to look at earthly things to try to make you happy. And one day God's going to pull that rug out and say, it won't keep you happy. That's why he says, stand fast. Where? In the liberty that Christ gave you. Christ didn't give you liberty through worldly things.
Amen.
He gave you liberty through spiritual things.
Amen.
God. That rest will come to an end in 1 John chapter 4. If you turn there with me real quick. 1 John chapter 4. What's another freedom? What's another liberty that Christ made us free in? We'll look at 1 John chapter 4. And we'll read verse 18 and 19. And this used to drive me crazy, but the Lord showed me and gave me an understanding in it. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. And it's a rest that Jesus Christ gives to a lost person. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out all fear.
Amen.
Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. My friend, let me say this. At salvation, Jesus Christ took away my fear and torment of unbelief. He took away my fear and torment of condemnation. He took away my fear and my torment of hell. What a rest, Stephen. What a rest not to have to worry about that anymore. Let me just tell you this. They didn't use the word torture there in the King James Bible. They use the word torment because torment means it never ends. And when you're caught in unbelief and when you're caught in your sin as a lost person, it's a torment. It never stops tormenting you.
Amen.
And when Jesus Christ steps in, that fear goes away. Why? Because perfect love casts it out. What's the perfect love? Jesus Christ, my friend. That's the perfect love. I don't fear hell anymore, John Mark. I'm not afraid of hell. Why? Because his perfect love, he came in and he saved me, and that's no longer where I'm going. Hallelujah. Hey, guess what? I've learned how to believe Jesus Christ. I'm not afraid. Why? But a Christian can. You go ahead and live outside the love of God, you watch how quick fear and torment will come in your life. You go ahead and live outside of God's will and purpose for your life, and you're going to see a fear and torment like you've never had before. Why? God's got to get you back where he needs you to be. I don't own my life. I don't run my life. If I could, I'd ruin it very quickly. You give me 48 hours of my life without God chasing me, and I'll have it destroyed. I'll be in prison, dead, my family. Who knows what would happen to my family? You see, I know.
Come on.
I know that I need Jesus Christ in this Bible. I know that for my life. Maybe some of you ought to get a hold of that.
Uh-oh.
Maybe some of you ought to just get a hold of that you need Jesus Christ in this Bible to run your life. You ain't got to live the life that I lived. But I'm telling you right now, it took the same blood to save you as it did me.
That's right.
Ready? It took the same cross.
That's right.
To save me as it did you.
Yeah.
So you mean to tell me if you're one of his, you can just do what you want to do? I'm not sure where that works. After this time of rest, the new believer will start to experience learning how to walk in the new man with a new faith in the will of God and God's purpose for their life. Colossians 2:6 says, as ye have, therefore receive Christ Jesus, so ye walk in him. As ye have. You have received him, then you walk in him. Not walk in your own ways. Not walk in the flesh. You walk in Jesus Christ. Well, Brother Dow, I don't know what. How do I walk in Jesus? That beautiful King James Bible teaches perfectly.
That's right.
He gave you that Bible, right? I say it. It's a pretty corny acronym, but I like it. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. God gave us an instruction manual to follow, and you know what? He did it on purpose.
Yeah.
He purposed to put the Bible in our life. Why? So that we would follow it. Look, if you can run your own life good, let me pat you on the back. Because about all the rest of us could. And my God, in his mercy, Tanya, looked down from heaven and said, I'm going to make sure Dale and Tanya get an instruction manual for their life. Stand fast in that liberty. I said this before, but your greatest fears didn't come while you were seeking for salvation. God will only bring a lost person to a certain point, or else it would kill them or drive them crazy. How crazy did it feel, Stephen?
Insane.
Yeah. It's pretty darn insane. And I used to watch him, man, because I remembered that, Stephen. I remember what that was like for me. But you know, God in his mercy didn't kill me by showing me the things he showed me. Mm-hmm. He knew it would bring me life.
Amen.
He knew it would bring me to salvation. My friends, if God really showed you an inkling of any one of us, we'd be dead. We couldn't handle it. It would drive us insane. But let me say this. After you're saved, it goes to a whole new level. It goes to a whole new level. Now you're his. He bought you. How precious. If I say, hey, don't you guys all think the blood of Jesus Christ is precious, right? And everybody's hand will go up. Do you know what the Bible says then? That you're bought with a price. You're bought with the blood of Jesus Christ. That means therefore you own yourself no longer. But yet people, Christians, live like they still own themselves. That's not how this whole thing goes, my friend. That's contrary to the Bible. Amen. Do you have a free will? Absolutely, 100%. God will let you know when you've got your free will. You know why? Because he turned Israel over for 40 years. And many other times, 20 years, he mightily oppressed them. You know why? Because they wanted their own will, Stephen, from their own heart. And God said, here you go. Christian, you'll feel it. You'll know when you stepped outside. Your greatest fears and trial will come when Jesus Christ tests your faith and brings you change after salvation. Matthew 16, verse 24. Go there. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. That was just a couple of things of liberty that God has given us in Christ Jesus. A physical and spiritual rest. Peace that passes all understanding. Gosh, I remember the first time when I got saved, I got up off that floor, and I remember for the first time in my life my conscience not bothering me. I couldn't remember the last time my conscience never bothered me. And when I got off that floor, man, all I can say, it was a miracle. Something went on inside of me, and I was just like, how? Because for 40 years, society, pharmaceutical companies, doctors, programs, and the system tried to get me to change my thinking and change my life and could not do it. And within a half a millisecond of me receiving Jesus Christ, it all changed for eternity.
Amen.
Eternity.
Amen.
Not just this temporal thing, but eternity. If you've not experienced that, my prayer is that you get a little Jesus. Go get yourself a little bit of Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you what right now, you'll experience something in your life that you've never experienced. There ain't a drug, there ain't an alcohol, there ain't a woman, there ain't nothing out in this world, man, that'll satisfy you like Jesus Christ, even through those hard times.
Right.
You can go through those tears. Me and my wife hug on each other. We love on each other. We're pouring out snot and boogers, crying because everything's falling apart. But you know what? We have Jesus Christ. He's going to get us through it.
Right.
And guess what? When I go through them trials now, I don't end up in jail or prison. Uh-oh. Or rehab or mental hospital or on pills. Why? I have Jesus. He's given me a liberty. You see, there's a liberty in this thing that we need to grab hold of. It's ours. And he tells us to stand fast in that. Look at Matthew 16, verse 24. It says this, and then Jesus said unto the disciples, if, because not everybody who says they're going to will. If any man will, that's our will. If any man will, he's given us a will. Come after me. Let. Oh boy. Let. You know what that means? God is giving you the strength and the ability to do what he's about to ask you.
Amen.
You ready? What's he going to ask you to do, Tim? Ready? Let him deny himself. Oh, gosh. That's like you know what the other curse word in Baptist churches are? Starts with an F? Fasting. You know what another one is? Self-denial. Go preach self-denial in a Baptist church. You want to talk about getting looked cross-eyed at that, and nobody wants to shake your hand. They leave the church mad. But I'm telling you right now, you know what Jesus Christ said? If you will pick up his cross, if you will follow him, you will deny yourself. You will. That's a choice that you make. You will deny yourself and pick up that cross and carry it. That's just picture. Let's not look at the pretty cross. Let's not look at the little pretty crosses that we all hang everywhere. Let's not look at that. Because that's not what the cross looked like when Jesus Christ hung upon it, just to let you know that. The cross wasn't a pretty thing. The cross was a very hard thing. And he says, you know what he said? Deny yourself, pick up your cross. He's giving you a cross to bear. Stephen, you're going to figure out what your cross is to bear. It tells you to deny yourself, pick it up and carry it. Let's just see how pretty. How about that person you don't want to forgive in your life?
Uh-oh.
You know what the cross says? Forgive that one who doesn't deserve it. You know what the cross says? Take that shame. Take that despising. Take that self-denial. That's what the cross says. You take that hard thing. You think it was a fun thing for Jesus Christ to go on that cross? He denied himself. And he tells us to do the same if we will follow him. Where is it going in Christianity today where they follow Jesus and stop following all the programs and start following all this and all that? He just tells us to deny yourself, take up that cross, and follow him. Oh, I follow Jesus, and I look and go, man, if that's following Jesus, I don't want none. You say, man, you're awfully harsh. Hey, you know why? Because I believe a King James Bible. That's the difference between me and somebody who doesn't believe a King James Bible. You know what it says about Jesus Christ, Stephen? Now, I'm supposed to be like Jesus. It says he is one that spoke as one with authority and not as the Pharisees. You know why I speak the way I speak? Because Jesus Christ has given me authority in that King James Bible. That's why I speak with authority, not because of me. To lose our life is to gain Christ. To lose our life is to gain Christ, because it goes on and it says, if any man will take up his cross, it says, take up his cross and follow me, for whosoever will. There's our will for our life again. There's our choice. He said, for whosoever will save his life, that's our purpose and our will and our way, shall lose it. You will lose your life. You will lose your life if you try to save it. What do you mean, Dale? Everything's going well here and you're going to face eternity in hell. You will lose. There is no winning when you're against God. You go ahead on this earth and try to save your life because you have some pride pent up inside of you, because you have some anger inside of you, because something was done to you when you were younger. And I'm telling you right now, you'll lose your life for eternity. You know, the problem is, I don't know who says it all the time. I hear it all the time. I can't remember. It's just people like the cake. They don't like the recipe. You want this peace? You want a life in Jesus Christ? You want what he says you can have? Then you got to do it his way. It's not going to come any other way. And he says you will lose your life. That is a choice you make. Jesus, I give up my life. It's not my life anymore. And you know what he says when you do that? He says that you will lose it. He shall lose his life for my sake. Isn't it much better losing your life for his sake, Stephen? Oh, it's so much better, Tim. Isn't it a wonderful thing, Kyle, to lose your life to somebody who can give you the best? You know why? Because he promised this. He said, not only will I give them life, but I'll give it to them more abundantly. I couldn't have a more abundant life. I'm broke. I don't have any money. Things are always breaking down. Things go wrong. I don't have an abundant life that way. I have something that's worth so much more. And that's Jesus Christ living inside of me. That's priceless. Yeah. There's nothing on this planet. Nothing. On this planet. And look what it says. To lose our life is to gain Christ. There is self-denial in the cross. There's suffering in the cross. There's pain in the cross. There's darkness. There's ridicule. There's shame. There's forgiveness for those who don't see a need to be forgiven in the cross. To follow Jesus Christ is to deny yourself. Take up your cross, bear it, and follow him. Look what it says in Galatians 2:20. You don't have to turn there. It says, I am. That is a definite thing that he is. He is what? Crucified with Christ. Amen. What does that mean? That I'm dead to myself. Jesus Christ died so I would not have to die for eternity. And he's given me life here on this earth to live crucified in who? Him. Look what this says. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Jesus Christ died so that I can live. Man, what a wonderful trade-off. Mm-hmm. Any of you who are not saved here today, you're missing the best trade-off ever. He'll give you life. And he'll take all your filthiness and your rottenness and your wretchedness and your hatred and your bitterness. He'll take every bit of that and give you life. I think of some of the things that I used to think and do when I go, my gosh, he was willing to take that?
Yeah.
More than you know, lost person. More than you know. That's why he says come, right, Stephen? Right, Tim? Come. I am crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That's the new creature. That's why we're made new, because now we have Jesus Christ living inside of us. It's not because I was just given a new life. I was made free because Jesus Christ now lives in me.
Amen.
It means I'm going to look at things a whole lot different. And my life's going to start looking a lot more different. If I took a show of hands, how many people here think God is all powerful? Oh! Then why can't he change your life? I'll say that same question, and lost people will raise their hands. But then why are you still lost if he's all powerful? Does it make sense? Look what it says here. Christ liveth in me, Tim. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God. No, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That same faith that Jesus Christ gave us at salvation will now be the same faith that will carry us through our trials and tribulations. There's a faith that Jesus Christ puts inside of us. It's called the saving faith. That saving faith doesn't go away when you go through trials. It's still in there because Jesus Christ is still in there. And your faith in that Jesus Christ will help you will raise his faith up to help you through those trials. What did he say he lives by the faith in who? The faith of the Son of God. Is that my faith then? The faith of the Son of God can't be my faith. So whose faith is it? It's the faith of the Son of God, just like the Bible says. It's his faith. He tells me to put my faith in him. And his faith will get me through those trials. Why would he come and save me and then leave me to myself through my trials? Why would he leave me to my own self? You see, he wouldn't. Look at what it says here. 1 Peter 2:21 says, for even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. And we sang that song, the footprints of Jesus. Following his steps. You know, we sing those songs, and you know what we do? We sing the songs in church so lightly. So lightly, and doctrine. We got doctrine full in these hymns, and yet we just sing them so lightly. So it's just, oh, we're going to go and sing. What does that mean to you when it says following Jesus' footsteps? What does that really mean to you? What is that little crazy thing that they used to say back in the days? What would Jesus do? You wouldn't even consider what Jesus would do. You say, how do you know that? Because I see your faces. I see how you live. I watch what you do. I see how you treat other people. I watch it and I go, you mean to tell me you really think you would do what Jesus Christ would do? No, you wouldn't. Well, how do you say that, Dale? Because I live the same way. But here's the good thing, brother. I got a holy God who loves me and beats the snot out of it.
Amen.
He don't just leave me there. He don't leave me to live my life that way. He changes me.
Right.
I'm different today than I was 6 months ago.
Right.
I'm different today than I was a week ago.
Well,
you know why? Because I had some stuff in between me and God. And the past week when Pastor asked me to preach it, it was torture for me. I didn't sleep. I tossed and turned all night, every night. And I said, and instead of God preparing messages for me to preach here, God was dealing with me.
Right.
And he had to show me things that were in my heart. And I said, oh my. Lord, I didn't even see that. Lord, I didn't even recognize that was there. You know why? Because he's still changing me. My change started when I got saved. and almost 11 years, it's still going. I'm sorry if you've reached a pinnacle in your life where you're holy and you can walk on water and bullets bounce off of your chest, but that's not my God. That's, you got a different God. You have a different God to think that God is just going to stop changing a person. Stop dealing with things that are in our lives. I live crucified to Jesus Christ is what the Bible says. I'm almost done here. I know people are falling asleep and getting bored and stuff, but just hang on. Put your seatbelt on and listen. Talk about that pastor being burned alive and that he didn't denounce Jesus Christ. What a grace from God. What if that man wasn't saved? What if he wasn't saved and went through that? Let's put ourselves in that position, including myself, because I had a good talk with the Lord, because I'd like to be honest with him, because he knows my heart anyway. And when I heard of that story, I said, God, I don't think I could do that right now. I said, I'm ashamed of that. Would you, that you would increase my faith and help me get to that point in my life that if I ever was faced with that, because if you're not looking at what's going on in America, if you think that we're just going to cruise out of here and everything's going to be all right, when you come into that concentration camp with me, I'll still preach to you. Because that's what it's coming to. You ain't going to have that Bible in your hand. Where you got it? Because if it ain't in your heart, it ain't going to do nobody no good, you or anybody else. You better get that Bible in your heart, even if you're a lost person. Because your only hope in a concentration camp might be what you put in your heart. And if you're putting other things in your heart, I feel bad for you. Because it ain't going to help you. After salvation, God started dealing with me and things. And I thought, gosh, I'm facing some of the worst things I ever faced in my life until I started walking this Christian walk, and it didn't. And I'll just say this. I just came out of a two-year spiritual battle. Hard. I thought the things previously up to that time were hard, Kyle. I thought, man, this is crushing to the soul. It's crushing to me and my family. It's crushing. And then for 2 years, God pointed something out, and I said, no, God, that can't be right. And then God started putting the pressure on. I said, God, I'm not sure if I can handle this. And of course, I would talk to people, and they say, hey. And so I give them this example. I said, everybody in here knows I'm afraid of heights. I'm so afraid of heights. To get up in a tree stand it takes a miracle to get me up in a tree stand. I tie myself in, and then all the ladders are missing because I want it as low as I can to the ground. Okay? I'm afraid of heights. I mean, that's a fear for me. So what God put his finger on, Pastor Hain, is now he put forth a challenge in my life. And it was like asking me to go on an airplane and jump out of it. Here's what people kept telling me. Dale, don't worry. Jesus Christ is the one that packed that parachute. Oh, no. It's not how it works, my friend. Dale, come on. It's time to get on the airplane. God, man, I can't go up in that airplane, Lord. Lord, I just, look at Jesus Christ packed that parachute. You got no worries. Okay. I get on the airplane. White as a ghost, sick as a dog. We ain't even off the ground yet. Dale, don't worry. Jesus Christ packed that parachute. No worries. I'm worried. I'm fearful. This can't be it, Lord. You can't put me through this. Oh, won't you do everything? Then you say, wherever you lead me to, whatever you want me to go through. You see, it took a progressiveness of God to lead me through certain things. Just teach me how to trust. Teach me how to trust. Teach me how to trust. Teach me how to trust Him. Teach me how to trust Him. Teach me how to trust Him. Bang, here it is, Dale. Oh, I can't do that. We're up in the airplane now. All right, Miss Murray, you got to stand up. I can't do it. I can't walk to that door. Ronnie, don't worry. Jesus Christ packed that parachute. I get to that door. My feet, my hands, and they're trying to push me out. Don't worry, Dale. Jesus Christ packed that parachute. You got this. Oh, no. 2 years. 2 years.
And people kept coming up to me and telling me, don't worry.
I'm telling you right now, until you face that moment of your greatest fear, when you thought there was no way God could ever get me through this, and then he brings your greatest fear to you. Job said, that thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. And I faced that. I faced that, Pastor. I faced standing in that door and somebody pushing on my back telling me, don't worry, Jesus Christ packed that parachute. Let me tell you something. When they kept telling me that, it didn't make it any easier. You know what it took? It took for me to finally say, all right, Jesus, you pack that parachute. Done. Done. 2 years. Something that I struggled with for over 51 years. 2 years of God put me through a spiritual battle for one issue he didn't like in his life. And it may not affect any one of you in here. 2 years, Kyle. You know why, Tim? Because Jesus Christ called me to preach. He told me to go out there and win lost souls to Jesus Christ. And I could no longer do that with that in my life. I am crucified with Christ. I will deny me for him. Look at New Christian, I'm just telling you today. God is going to challenge you with many things. The biggest thing that you can give him is your will, your heart, and your life. And let him do what he's going to do. Because I'm telling you now, I don't care how hard you fight it, he's going to come out on top. Because you know what? When he has to humble you, it's under his mighty hand, not on it or in it.
Amen.
And he will humble you. I'm going to close with this, these three quick things. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart. That means to set God in your heart. But let me tell you this now. There's probably not enough room in your heart to sanctify him because of the world, sin, people, religion. You can't sanctify God in your heart if there's no room for him. I'm telling you now, there are many things, even things that look good and you would think that are right in your eyes are wrong in God's eyes. God had to teach me many lessons. Well, let's go ahead and move to Rochester. I can make almost $60,000 a year sitting in the office, full benefits for me and my family. That'd be wonderful as a minister, wouldn't it? Be great. But to God, that was not great, Miss Pam.
God didn't want that in my life, Johnny.
No. That didn't just happen once, twice, three times, four times.
You know what God was trying to show me? Sanctify me in your heart, Dale. Set me apart. Get the world out. Here's a few things. People or a person can be what's stopping you from sanctifying God in your heart. Luke 14:26 says, if any man come to me and hate not his father or his mother, his wife, children, brethren, sisters, yea, and his own life also. Let me just tell you this. What do you mean? Doesn't God tell me to love my neighbor, love my wife, and love my children? He's talking positionally. Positionally, you can have your family in the wrong spot in your life, and God says to hate that, because he does. Why? He wants the preeminence in your life. He wants first place in your life. And there are many times, hard lesson here to learn is me putting my family, my wonderful wife and two children above God. Bad move. He tells me to hate that. Positionally. He's not telling me to hate my wife. Why would he say, love your wife and then hate her? He's telling me positionally, keep her out of first place. I belong there.
Right. That's right.
That can go with any people. That can go with a job. That can go with a business. The world. The things of the world can be in your heart and it's stopping you from sanctifying God in your heart. 1 John 2, 15, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of this world. And the world passeth away in the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. You understand? The world can take place in your heart, and God says, my love will not abide there as long as the world is in it. Where's the world at in your heart? Here's what you do. The same thing that God started doing to me and my family. He started taking things physically out of our home, out of our life. And you know what? We realized how much we really love the worldly stuff. Pray that God start taking worldly stuff out of your life and see how much you still love Him. Because I guarantee it, and I'm not strong in that. I'm very weak in it. But I know this, God had to sanctify. Look at God, He told me I have to sanctify Him in my heart. And the only way to do that is get those worldly things out of my life. One more thing. Sin. Two more things. Sin could be taking place in your heart. James 4:8 says, draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you. How do you draw nigh to God? He says, you got to get that thing, whatever's out in between you and Him. How do you do that? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Stop doing those things you know you should not be doing. What else? Purify your heart, you double-minded. You can't think this way and think that way. Lost person, you're caught in a double-minded way. You want to be saved, but yet you want to be over here doing this. Double-minded. It won't happen. Look at what it says here. You double-minded, be afflicted. Be afflicted. Why? Because I have sin in my life. And look, sin is what drove Jesus Christ to the cross. You mean to tell me it'd be an easy thing to get out of your life? He tells you to be afflicted when you have sin in your life. To afflict yourself. Why? Because you have to give up that sin you want to hold on to. It's an affliction. But if you want to draw nigh unto God, you have to be afflicted. You got to be willing to put that thing out. Uh-huh. Look what it says here. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter turn into mourning and your joy into heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and He shall lift you up. And the last one, pride. Pride could be taking place in your heart that's stopping you. And it says this, that he may, Job 33:17-23, it says that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. God will withdraw you from your purpose. He will hide your own pride. Because you know what happens? And I'm just going to say this real quick. I can't even get into it much. At salvation, if you will allow it, you can get a false sense of pride. You know what happens? The disciples, Jesus Christ just gave them all the power in the world. Go heal, cast out devils. The very first devil that comes up to them, they couldn't do it. You know why? They left Jesus out of it.
Yeah.
You'll get that as a newborn, again, believer. You start thinking, well, I can handle this now. Well, I don't need to read as much as I used to. I don't need to pray as much as I don't need to go to church. But you'll get a false sense of security after salvation, thinking that you can now do things without God. And there are many people who have lived their whole Christian life that way. And it's a shame and a reproach unto God. I'm done.
Amen.
I'm done.
Double barrel shotgun today. And got us in both services. Very good.
What time is your service tomorrow? 3:30. 3:30.